Plans to airdrop relief supplies to Zaire became more uncertain today. The mission was proposed to help hundreds of thousands of Rwandans and Zaireans who fled fighting in eastern Zaire. They have been without food and other aid for a month, but today Zaire's government became the latest to oppose the plan. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports from Nairobi.
Even among its supporters, an airdrop is considered a last resort effort. It is inefficient and risky. In the case of eastern Zaire, there are worries the food would end up in the hands of armed Rwandan militiamen. Still, an airdrop is something to fall back on when other attempts to deliver emergency aid have failed. Only now, plans for an airdrop appear to be failing as well. Zaire's information minister today said his country would not authorize overflights for airdrops. He said officials objected to plans to stage the mission in neighboring Uganda, which Zaire accuses of aggression. And he said he feared that dropped crates of food would kill people, as has happened in such operations in other countries. It appears the government may also be angry that its sovereignty is being violated. Today, the Canadian commander who would lead any airdrop operation met with Zairean rebels intent on toppling the current regime. In Ottawa, Canada's foreign minister said he wasn't sure the Zairean spokesman represented the entire government. Things in the country are very confused, he said. He also noted that the UN Security Council earlier this month approved the use of force to deliver aid in Zaire, yet international unwillingness to intervene on the ground led to the airdrop proposal in the first place, and it's unlikely anyone would want to use force in this case either. One reason for the reluctance is that so far the recent mass migration to Rwanda has gone remarkably well. Although relief organizations say up to 700,000 refugees remain in Zaire, the U.S. and Rwandan governments contend the number is much lower. And they say those left are slowly but surely making their way back as well. Today, thousands more who recently emerged from Zaire's forests marched north and were then trucked across the border into Rwanda. Zairean rebels also announced they would allow the UN and other aid agencies into eastern Zaire for 10 days so they could better assess what help is needed. They are welcome signs of progress for the short term, yet Peter Kessler of the United Nations Refugee Agency in Nairobi says they don't represent a long-term solution to what is a larger regional problem.
Patting ourselves on the back that 500,000 people have returned to Rwanda in 4 days' time is not going to mean that there won't be another civil war or deadly ethnic rivalry in a few years' time.
Kessler points out that thousands of armed Rwandan militiamen are among those still in Zaire and are unlikely to return home. Instead, they've pushed deeper into Zaire, reportedly clashing with local residents along the way, and their continued presence is certain to fuel resentment and instability. Another 500,000 Rwandan refugees are still in Tanzania, and Kessler says a civil war between ethnic Hutus and Tutsis in Burundi continues unabated.
There is a major crisis in the region that's being forgotten. So far this month, almost 100,000 new refugees have arrived in Tanzania, Zairean and Burundian. The security situation remains extremely tenuous in northwestern Burundi, and that there is going to be some friction for some time to come in Rwanda as people reintegrate.
As the current refugee crisis in eastern Zaire fades from television screens, Kessler worries the world will forget Central Africa. Agencies like his will stay in the region, but he says no amount of humanitarian aid will solve what's basically a political problem. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Nairobi.